update on the opioid crisis, and then also be able to see what's going on with panel members from big names in the community.
And once again, that is coming up on the 12th. More hydrant testing and flushing will take place in the city of Bartlesville this week, and that will be in Zones 4 and Zones 20. Circle Mountain encompasses Zone 4 work, and Zone 20 will take Highway 123 going west on Highway 60 to Hazlett Road, and that will include the Bartlesville Municipal Airport and Osage Meadows. News on the air, on the web, on your app, and on Alexa, I'm Tom Davis. Your forecast for today is calling for a chance of showers and a high of 82. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms mainly after midnight, and we will see a low right around 68 degrees. And for tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely in the morning, cloudy in the afternoon with a high of only 78. Right now, 73 degrees at K1.
It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overleaf's Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
Good morning, Larry. How are we doing today?
Good morning. Okie dokie.
So far, so good.
Enjoying this little bit of a break in the rather steam bath we've had the last month or so.
But you got to take it all in stride. It is Oklahoma. Wait 10 minutes, it can change, right?
Change a minute, right? Fall color is on the way.
Oh, good. That ought to be something. I haven't witnessed fall color in Oklahoma in quite a while.
In at least a year, yeah.
Well, for me, anyway.
Okay, well, it's variable, actually. We've had a lot of moisture this year.
Yeah.
And it's causing a little bit of leaf anthracnose on the maples. Mm-hmm. I notice there's a lot of crinkled up leaves that are really dark in color laying on the ground in my front yard and other people's front yards. So we'll have yet to see what happens with the fall color this year.
It's up for grabs, isn't it?
Now, plants like the burning bush are doing okay. The barberries are looking fine and all that. But some of the tree species are having a little difficulty with this excessive moisture we've had. We have had actually more rain at this point than we've had typically on an entire year.
Wow,
so
that's amazing.
Pretty good, yeah, it doesn't happen very often, but anyway, here it comes. In light of that, we do have some trees on sale right now at the nursery, so you can come by and check it out and get you a little bit of fall color coming on.
Super.
No problem watering them in. Oh, golly. Uh-huh. We did a landscape plan or installation this week.
And
it was a challenge. We got more on the way. So anyway, hopefully it'll, and the weather app outlook for this coming week is looking somewhat wet too. So anyway, well, it'll be all right. It just takes a little bit more time to get stuff done. That's all.
What time?
Yeah, so really. Question this week we've had, what do we do about tent caterpillars? We haven't had a lot of them this year, thank goodness.
Oh, yeah.
I still get an occasional question what we do about them. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of questions about scale insect.
Ooh.
Scale. And they're attacking crepe myrtles real bad. Mm-hmm. And I was at, where was I yesterday? Oh, at the veterinary hospital here in town. Mm-hmm. And had to take the dog off for his vaccinations and all that. And so you need to tell the doctor he's got scale on his crepe myrtles. Okay.
All right. The answer, okay. So you gave him a diagnosis, yeah,
that's
huh?
Right. So I expect a discount, no. But anyway.
I'm wearing glass, I'm here to help.
So they are having problems. And what to look for on your crepe myrtles right away is a blackening of the stems.
Sure.
The blackening of the stems is a black mold. Mm-hmm. As a result of the honeydew produced by the scale.
Okay.
Honeydews produced by the scale insect is designed to attract ants, which carry their little eggs from one plant to another. Hmm. In the scientific world, we call that symbiosis.
Got it.
They kind of help each other out.
They do.
But anyway, crepe myrtles can get rather adversely affected. It affects their blooms. It affects their appearance. You get yellow leaves on them. And you get the general weakness of the plant, and it can kill a crepe myrtle plant.
Don't want that.
No, so watch out for that. There are some cures for that. The imidacloprid works rather well, but this is a systemic insecticide. Mm-hmm. You can use topical applications of neem oil or dormant oil to control the scale. The scale insect is a real tough one to control. Yeah. So you almost have to attack it internally like that. So anyway, so that's one of the questions this week. What do I do about that? Another one is, why are my hydrangeas not blooming?
Oh, no.
Then I asked, when did you fertilize it last? Well, 2 years ago. I said, bingo, you know.
That could be the right there.
Hydrangeas are heavy feeders, people. You really need to fertilize them on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And in light of that, you might use something like Peters fertilizer, mm-hmm, or Miracle-Gro, liquid Miracle-Gro on them on a regular basis in order to keep the fertility levels up so they'll bloom. It takes a lot of energy to produce that big old flower. And if it doesn't have the oomph to do that, it's not going to do it.
No.
So you need to keep the fertility levels up. You can use a granular fertilizer, however, on a regular basis as well. Something with a little less emphasis on the nitrogen, mm-hmm, and a bit more emphasis on the potassium and phosphorus and some trace elements as well.
Very, very good.
So we do have some fertilizers at the nursery that are fairly low in nitrogen that has the emphasis on the phosphorus and potassium and trace elements as well.
There you go, to properly feed it.
It's called tomato fertilizer.
It's called tomato fertilizer. You get a twofer out of that, right? One, huh?
Now, your hydrangeas definitely will not have tomatoes.
No.
But the requirements are fairly similar. Also, a bulb fertilizer works real well, too.
Okay.
Typically, they don't have a lot of nitrogen in them. So, give that. We got some cooler weather coming on. You have a very good chance to produce some flowers in the fall. So if they've been non-productive for a long period of time, perhaps they do need an increase in fertilization. Another thing is hydrangeas do not like to be planted in clay.
They don't.
So if you have a hydrangea in clay soil, it's just not going to do anything but just get smaller.
You don't need it to shrink.
No.
Say no to shrinkage.
So if that's the case, then and the plant's still fairly healthy, we might wait till wintertime perhaps and replant it in the proper type soil. So another thing is that deer really like them.
They do?
Yes.
Tasty, huh?
Yes. So I've been to several cases where, my hydrangeas are getting smaller. Well, something's eating them. And I asked, do you have deer? Well, yes. Well, there you go. So the deer kind of like them also.
They come up for a nibble and keep coming back.
Well, yeah, it's a virtual buffet
for the deer.
Yeah, let's have a lunch at the Bellagio today and go eat some hydrangeas. Yes, but anyway, so that's a bit of a problem with them too around some parts of town with the deer, Woodland Park and some parts of Colonial and all that, and in Kenilworth they a lot of them in there too. Mm-hmm. These neighborhoods in town, so. Hillcrest also.
They get a little dinner guest.
That's right. So, anyway, if you have the deer problem, well, a lot of times the lights that turn on with the motion sensor lights will help also until they learn that nothing happens when that happens. So, but anyway, so you might consider that also. So that's kind of the story on hydrangeas right now, but if they haven't been performing, and we do have a time frame coming up, mm-hmm, when they will produce some blooms, when it gets a little bit cooler, uh-huh, you might consider being proactive before the cool weather hits and getting them ready for that, so we'll have some flowers on them.
Very good.
So cool. Another thing that's happening people's lawns, Bermuda grass are growing real quickly right now. We're rapidly, you know, so... It's getting a little bit late for that last fertilization of Bermuda grass, so you might get after it. You really want it to get hardened off because winter is coming. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to believe this area can actually cool down. But
this summer, yeah.
So you want the Bermuda grass to be hardened off. Mm-hmm. So this is the absolute last time for nitrogen applications on your Bermuda grass. Okay, after that, we use, say, like a 10-20-10 or something to get the stolons good and hardened off. It, what that does is help prevent spring dead spot. So when we do have our snow, if it does snow, if you guys will let it snow in February.
Sometimes, yeah.
We have a real bad problem with spring dead spot, which is a fungus
problem.
The Bermuda grass gets, and you get these big splotches of dead grass in your Bermuda grass in the spring.
Oh, no, my lawn is turning into a blonde.
So you can do some prevention on that by mm-hmm. cutting back on the nitrogen late in the season. So most people's lawns look pretty good. We've had some good weather this summer, as you can tell from the charts, and you can also tell from my somewhat latent schedule that we've had some good weather this summer. So the Bermuda grass is doing quite well, and I'm going to lay caution to the wind for spring dead spot come this spring. So if that happens, the spring dead spot, you just dig up the grass in there and turn over the soil a little bit, and then cut and paste some Bermuda from the surrounding areas, mm-hmm. and it'll fill in pretty quickly.
Real quick.
Yeah, so fescue grass.
Yeah.
It's coming time to do the seeding. Traditionally, late August is time for the installation of a Bermuda seed, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We have a real long window right now between right about now and, say, Columbus Day, when mm-hmm. it starts to get a little chilly at night. So you might consider doing that, and putting down fescue seed is a little bit more than getting off the couch and throwing out some seed and going back to the couch with a remote. No. You have to work for it to really work. And if you have had Bermuda or fescue grass that has failed over the years, mm-hmm. perhaps the soil just isn't proper.
Mm-hmm.
So heavy soil is not good. You need to get the roots down deep for that, and that means compost.
Yeah.
Compost is a fairly inexpensive method by which you can aerate the soil and get the soil conditioned for the fescue grass to grow. We've had nothing but success on fescue lawns that have been properly prepared with the compost, and nothing but failure in those that haven't.
It's pretty well defined.
This goes for sod as well. Fescue sod generally is not available right now. It's just too hot.
Mm-hmm.
So when it does become available later on in the year, you just really can't roll it out on the bare ground and expect it to do well. You really need to get in there as though you're preparing for tomatoes, if you mm-hmm. will, and add some organic stuff to the soil so the roots can penetrate deep into the soil and tolerate the summer.
Got it.
Now, the problem is not when it's planted and in the wintertime and early in the spring it looks really nice. The problem happens next year in the heat if the roots are not developed down deep into the soil. Mm-hmm. If they don't go down in the soil, if there's nothing to entice them to go down there, mm-hmm. they're going to be very, very shallow. And then when it gets hot, it gets overheated, and you get the Phytophthora fungus getting into your fescue. We haven't had that problem this year. But anyway, on a typical year, you get a Phytophthora fungus going in there, and it collapses the vascular tissue in the stem of the fescue grass, and it dies, and all your effort turns into this mat of straw-colored dead grass.
You don't want that.
Another thing you want to look for in fescue grass is dappled sunlight. If the sun will ever shine again, but
it's not going to be today.
Look at the ground, and you should see at least some leopard skin look to the soil with the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the splotches of sunshine should mm-hmm. get through. If you have no splotches of sunshine, you have inadequate sunshine for fescue grass, and you need to thin out your tree canopy a little bit to allow some of the light to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have had good luck with fescue in the past, perhaps that's the reason why you're not having good luck with your fescue now, is that the trees have grown up and filled in the canopy you thinned out years ago, or perhaps didn't exist at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's grown and filled in and made a complete shade on the ground. At that point, then you don't have enough light for the fescue to grow.
Okay. Got to have that photosynthesis going on.
It's very important, yeah. These plants are solar powered, and they really need that energy from the sun
mm-hmm.
in order to grow and photosynthesize and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Really do their thing.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to take your calls. If you have any questions, at 336-1400, that's 336-1400. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener Program.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has summer sale items to get your garden growing. Save 30% off select trees in stock. Save 30% off crepe myrtles, butterfly bushes, hydrangeas, clematis, gardenias, crepes, and herbs. Get flowering baskets at $14.99 for a 10-inch basket and $19.99 for a 12-inch basket. Check out their glass and metal art, too. 30% off. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, Sunday, noon to 5.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generator for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company, fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
That takes me back.
It does. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Show with Larry Glass. Your phone calls are welcome at 336-1400. I believe we have a phone call waiting. Good morning. Hi, you're on the air. Your question or comment, please. Hello. Okay, we got to do this. I'm sorry. There we go. Hello, once again, you're on the air. Let's try it this way. Good morning. Okay. We'll get that back to you here in just a little bit. I had a little bit of a hang up on the technology here. So if you will, 336-1400, that'll get your call through to us today to get to Larry. What else do we have going on, sir?
Oh, golly, getting back to the fescue grass.
Yes.
We talked about establishing new fescue grass, a little bit of a procedure. The amount of seed you put on there is anywhere from 6 to 8 pounds per 1,000 square feet.
Oh, very good.
Okay. We have a chart at the nursery that'll tell you, if you know your square footage, how much to get.
Let's go to the phones here real quick. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Your question or comment, sir?
If you have a situation where you're deficient in fertility, yeah, any time's a good time. Not necessarily. Azalea fertilizer typically has some aluminum sulfate or some kind of sulfur compound in it, be it aluminum or magnesium sulfate, to help maintain a low pH in your soil. Tomatoes do like a pH of about 6.5, so it wouldn't hurt to put a little bit of Epsom salts in your tomatoes once or twice a year.
Epsom salts.
Bet.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling.
And I believe we have another caller on the line, so we're going to go to that one too. Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I have some trees that are pretty young trees. They're about 12 feet tall. They got rusty looking spots on the leaves, and eventually it becomes a hole.
What species of tree are they?
Heck, I don't know. Probably, I don't know what they are.
Okay. If they are a member of the prunus family, in other words, crabapple trees, apple trees, and...
No, it's not a fruit tree. It's a shade tree.
Tree of some kind. Okay. Maple trees have a problem this year with leaf anthracnose, which is a common fungus disease. It's not really deadly to the tree, but it just causes some ugliness and holes in the leaves and missing parts of the leaves, and some of the leaves are falling off right now.
Okay. Now, these trees have some little berries on them or something.
Sounds like you have maybe hackberry trees.
Yeah, I'm not... I used to know the name of them, but I have forgotten what they're called. But anyway, if it's something that's not going to hurt the tree, I won't worry about it. I didn't know if I needed to fertilize it, put some fertilizer on there, or spray it for bugs.
Oh, well, this time of year, I wouldn't be overly concerned about the tree. Most of them are looking a little tired anyway.
Okay. Well, the tree looks fine. It's just got those rusty spots on it.
It sounds like you might have some kind of, if it has little berries on it, maybe a calorie pear. Is the leaf kind of shiny and sort of rounded?
Yeah.
Okay, it sounds like some kind of calorie pear. It'd be a Bradford pear, or aristocrat, or one of those kind of Bradford pears.
Yeah, I think maybe it is a pear, some kind of a pear tree. I can't remember the exact name of it. But.
Yeah, it's very rare for them to get cedar apple rust, but they can get if they're under stress. Some cedar apple rust, or it could be a simple case of black spot, or it could be a little case of leaf anthracnose, one of the three. But I would, at this time of the year, I wouldn't be overly concerned.
Okay. Also, I have they're called a hedge tree bush, and it looks like there's something eating on the leaves on it. And I'm looking at it now, and I see a grasshopper on there, so that may be what's eating the leaves on this tree, on this bush.
Yeah, it sounds like they're the insects are at the buffet this morning.
Yeah, it had some of those bagworms, like you normally see on the cedar tree. It had some of those on it, and I pulled all those off, but it looks like it still has some bug bites on it or something. Is there something I can put on there to keep the grasshoppers off of it?
Well, actually, they're taking 7 off the market, and that was the best one you can use at the time.
Uh-huh. There's still some of it out there that can be bought?
You can still find some on the shelf, but that's got good residual action. And there are others out there. The, what's the name of that? Spinazad. We'll work on them also.
Okay.
So there's new stuff coming out as the old stuff goes out. So, yeah, that should work on them.
All right.
Bye.
I'll see if I can find me some 7 dust.
Very good. Thank you for calling.
Once again, thank you for your calls, and we've got a line open now at 336-1400, but right now we're going to take a very quick break. It's 8:31. We'll be back after this short timeout.
Peter's True Value in Dewey has great items at great prices, like these bargains of the month. 16-pack of AA or AAA batteries, $12.99 each. 8-pack CND or 4-pack 9-volt alkaline batteries are $13.99 each, your choice. Get Easy Care latex ceiling paint for $12.99 for 1 gallon. See these and more bargains of the month at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Prices good now through September 2nd. That's Peter's True Value in Dewey.
111, and I had a stroke.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak or walk.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
182 over 100, and I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, and then a stroke. Everything changed. It felt like my life was over.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke. If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
180 over 110, and I had a stroke. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If you've come off your treatment plan, get back on it, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Smoother, faster, easier to use. That's what you expect from any update on an app for your phone. And we've delivered. Head to the Google Play Store or Apple Store to get the latest version of the KWON Radio smartphone app. News, weather, sports, and community events from KWON have never been easier to access. There's even a button now for you to sound off and tell us what you think. It's free thanks to Arvest Bank and Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and available at the Google Play Store and Apple Store from KWON Radio.
I'm Dave Hunziker, and you've got the Bruins, Cardinals, Cowboys, and more on K1, AM 1400, and FM 93.3.
And yes, commonality, they play on grass. We're back with the Green Country Gardener, Larry Glass, and your phone calls are welcome to 336-1400. Larry, back to you, man.
Yeah, we were discussing lawns. For the phone call, and a good time to perhaps sharpen that lawnmower blade too.
Oh yes,
it depends on how your grass looks after it's mowed.
Yeah,
does it have a good clean look to the top, or is the grass bruised? What does it look like 2 days after you mow it?
There you go.
And you just reach underneath there and feel the blade. Without the engine running.
Of course.
But I guess if you put your finger on there and it cuts it off, it's sharp, whatever.
Yeah, oh, my heaven's sake. Not advised, though.
You want to check it out. Yeah. Put it on the driveway, pull out the spark plug wire, and reach underneath there and just check out the blade.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had a busy mowing year or season this year, so your blade's got quite the workout, that's for sure.
Right. If your engine's having a difficult time with the keeping up with the cutting, perhaps it doesn't need to be sharpened. Mm-hmm. So anyway, zoysia grass, kind of the same as Bermuda grass right now. Mm-hmm. However, we don't have a problem with spring dead spot with zoysia.
Okay.
So we can still do an application of a fertilizer on the zoysia grass to maintain its appearance. Zoysia typically is kind of a grayish green color.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like to apply some iron along with your fertilizer, or get a fertilizer that has iron incorporated into it to help darken the color of the zoysia. Otherwise, it can look a little pale by comparison.
You don't want to have pale grass.
It's a good. We've done some zoysia lawns this year, and they're absolutely beautiful.
Great.
Oh, you're
nice iron diet. That'll do it.
Really, you're talking putting green.
So. Yeah. Oh wow.
So yeah, really nice. So, and we get it from an outfit in Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
They have a variety of zoysia that I really like down there. So. Yeah. So anyway, you might consider that as an alternative. Now, zoysia will take part sun. It won't take as much shade as the fescue grass, but it will grow very well in part sun. And we use it in areas of where, on the, say, on the north side of the house or the north side of the fence, that little band of dead grass along the north side of the fence. Mm-hmm. We just put some zoysia there, and it'll do fine.
Very good.
And it does. So anyway, you might consider that as it'll actually grow and take over the Bermuda grass.
Super.
So anyway, that's a third turf grass that we use for the most part here. And then there's another one, buffalo grass.
Buffalo grass.
Buffalo grass. You use that in areas where you really don't want to irrigate very much. Secret to that doing well is keeping it mown fairly high and fertilize it spring and fall. It'll do okay. So anyway, those are the kind of the turf grass things. Crepe myrtles, at this point in time, cut back with spent blooms. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, look out for scale damage on crepe myrtles. It's getting really bad, getting even worse. Aphids are a little bit of a problem with crepe myrtles. Okay. I was at a house, they had actually a head scale on their hollies.
Ooh.
And there was an inexplicable decline in the holly plants. And they were all sprouting out from the main trunk. And I looked up there and I said, well, these branches are covered in scale. Mm. It's an insect that just draws the life right out of the plant.
Boy.
So we recommended a systemic application to control that. But golly, it's so hard to diagnose these things. And people just thought, what is wrong with this plant? Because, you know, and that's what it was.
Scale?
Just covered. Absolutely. Ooh, boy. Just carpeted in scale. So anyway, watch out for that too. But anyway, back to the crepe myrtles. The blossom show is a little bit past peak. However, you can maintain the blooms, maybe an application of some phosphorus, superphosphate, or triple superphosphate.
But anyway, massive doses of
yeah. Blood. But that should go ahead and create some blooms too. So I had a crepe myrtle actually bloom in September one time. I just cut it way back, and it leaped out again and bloomed again.
So, nice.
I'm not saying it's going to happen every time.
No, but it was a nice surprise.
Wow, so yeah. This thing's blooming. So anyway, that's kind of what's going on with crepe myrtles. Mites are bad on boxwood this year also. Use a dormant oil or neem oil or triple action or pyrethrin or neem oil to control the mites on boxwoods.
Very good.
That's what gives you that characteristic boxwood smell. I haven't seen so much of it this year because of the weather we've been having,
Typically
rainy and cooler weather we've been having. So it's not been that bad of a thing. And lace bugs have been bad on azaleas. And we mentioned that earlier in the year, in May, to put down the imidacloprid to be proactive on that.
Okay.
So, yeah, on this finger, I did hit it with a hammer the other day.
And oh, my, ouch.
Awesome. Anyways, that's why it's all black and ugly looking. Roses, I cut back the Julia Child rose 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just let her have it. Oh, poor little thing. But it's leafing out. It's actually starting to bloom again. And also the knockouts, those that are alive that are not affected by the rosette disease,
mm-hmm.
it's time to cut them back too, to get ready for the September show. So
if you
do have knockout roses that are doing fine, you might consider cutting them way back. I cut mine back to about knee high.
Oh boy.
Poor things, mm-hmm. Yes.
But they'll grow.
Yeah, they grow, big grow back and they look pretty nice. Unfortunately though, my home run rose has the rosette disease.
Oh no.
So it's got to come out. So that's too bad. But so far, Julia has managed to escape that problem.
Good.
And it's near some boxwoods, too. I'm really surprised it doesn't have it yet. Because, of course, my boxwoods don't have mites either.
No.
So anyway.
You've taken proper care.
Yeah, right. It's a good idea maybe to fertilize your roses at this point because mm-hmm. there is going to be a growth spurt here in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't use a lot of nitrogen. Use a, quote, rose fertilizer, unquote.
Okay.
For your roses, and that typically has the trace elements they need as well as the proper balance of NPK for them to do quite well. So a good fall fertilization or late summer fertilization right now to get so they can brace for the fall show.
Very good.
Is coming on, so you might want to do that. And continue your spray program. If you do a spray program in your roses, go ahead and continue that also. Okay. Trees. Trim back if needed. I had to cut back some damage to my plum trees this year, and did that last week. And of course, my shred them up and then put them around the other plants. Well, it blew a gasket.
Oh.
But anyways, I got that fixed. Look for borer damage. I do have some borer damage on some of my trees. So I got my pocket knife in there and dug them out. And maybe a little bit of a late fertilization on your fruit trees, as well as all trees at this point. So the time for that fall fertilization on the trees coming up too. It takes a little while for it to get down into the ground. And you do want to fertilize while the moisture levels are good, so the fertilizer will diffuse down to the zone it needs to be for your trees. So it's time to give a fall fertilization of the trees. Not so much emphasis on nitrogen. You really don't want them to grow too much in the fall because that makes them tender into the winter.
Got to keep them hardy just in case.
Keep them hardy. So make them, fertilize them a little bit, make them just a little bit hungry, and they'll do okay.
Good.
So go ahead and a late fertilization on trees right now. Falling is always in line. So, okay. Golly, we talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground and answered quite a few questions. And if you've got more questions, fire away at 336-1400. Yeah. We'll gladly take them.
One thing that people have in their mind a lot is, what can I do to help conserve water in my landscape? Yeah, I like that look. What? Conserve water.
This summer? Okay.
Yeah, this summer, yeah. but typically we have a rather long dry spell.
Yes, we do.
There's been spells where 100 and some days, almost 3 months, where we haven't had any rain.
Ooh.
In the past. Golly, it was just every day, dog day for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, I've been out in it. But this year we've been very lucky. However, on a typical basis, you do want to go ahead and do what you can to help conserve moisture in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
probably the most important thing is what I always say, ground preparation.
Ground prep.
Exactly. You don't want to spot prep your plants. In other words, you don't want to dig a little bitty hole that's just barely bigger than the plant. Put a little token amount of whatever you have in it.
You got to give it some space, man.
Yeah, you got to dig a hole so big that it hurts your back.
I think you get the picture, folks.
And then the tree will do well.
It'll do awesome.
Yeah, so get off the couch. Come on, guys. Get off the couch. Get out there and
do it. It's not a five-minute job. Take your time. Do it right. It'll give you a lifetime of pleasure.
Exactly. So when we do landscapes, we prepare the bed as a whole.
You do, yeah.
Because these roots, they go beyond that initial planting, and they reach out to the other areas. So we do an entire preparation mm-hmm. for the entire space, and your plants do so much better. I've got landscapes that are 30 years old looking good.
So, anyway, strong testament to the planter. Huh?
It's good to prepare the whole bed, mm-hmm. not just basically get a drill.
Here you go. Here's
you probably burn you in our soil. You probably burn the drill out.
kidding.
So a good prep. Get the tiller out and prep at least an 8-inch soil prep, and use about 3 inches of compost. You should have good luck with your soil.
Very good
with your plants. So anyway. That's kind of how you prepare the soil for your new plants is put your back into it. Our soil typically is heavy.
It is.
So we want, and also, keep in mind that the drainage, too. We did a project this week and last week, and the drainage was very, very critical. And we took a big old 12-foot 2x4 and found the point where we would want the water to drain and then put mm-hmm. a level on it. And we set elevations. Mm-hmm. where we want the levels of this to be elevation here, elevation there, and went up the landscape and established drain points mm-hmm. and based our sidewalk. We put in a stone paver sidewalk, which looks really nice, mm-hmm. by the way. I really like the way the pavers look nicely on a sidewalk and compacted the soil and did the concrete borders and all that. And established levels with the pins, metal pins, and said, this is how high it has to be. And it worked. That last big deluge we had, water just ran right on out. So it's very important to know your elevation. And a lot of houses here in town have very critical drainage patterns on them. So you must be very aware of that when you do a landscape or anything, even when you plant a tree or something. Mm-hmm. Of what happens in your yard when it rains.
How's this going to affect the whole scheme of things? Yes.
Exactly. So you can make the landscape actually, and in this case, we made the landscape act as a drainage pattern for this front yard, and it worked.
We've got a caller? Yeah, we do. Let's go to the phones here. Hi, good morning. You're on the air. Welcome. Hello, you're on the air. Welcome. Okay, guess not. We'll get to that one here in a little bit then. Right now, we need to take a quick break, and we'll have more coming up after this.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has summer sale items to get your garden growing. Save 30% off select trees in stock. Save 30% off crepe myrtles, butterfly bushes, hydrangeas, clematis, gardenias, crepes, and herbs. Get flowering baskets at $14.99 for a 10-inch basket and $19.99 for a 12-inch basket. Check out their glass and metal art, too. 30% off. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. 30, Sunday, noon to 5.
Pratt Pest Control of Bartlesville is reliable. Pratt Pest Control of Bartlesville is professional, but most importantly, Pratt Pest Control of Bartlesville is affordable. So when you have a pest problem, call Pratt Pest Control of Bartlesville, 918-336-BUGS. That number, 918-336-2847. Mention this ad and get $10 off your next service. Pratt Pest Control of Bartlesville, the best pest protection for your home or business.
Just as a shin bone is a device for finding furniture in a dark room,
oh, there it is.
Waking up and turning on the radio will help you find information like news, weather, and traffic.
Weekday mornings, start your day at 6 with Bill and Tom. Breaking news, in-depth weather, sports with Evan Barbach, community connection, and one-on-one with the pros.
and move that coffee table, will ya?
Bill and Tom, weekday mornings on K1, the one you trust.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
And we're back, and your phone calls are welcome here at 336-1400. Got a little jingling-a-ling in my pocket, I guess. I got to go see you this week and get my iron.
Well, you'll be really dark green then.
There you go. Okay.
Anyway, the soil basically is a battery for water storage.
It is.
And that's why the better prep you do, the deeper the preparation, the more you make the soil more porous and able to absorb and store that soil, the better off you're going to be on your plants. So, anyway, with that in mind, what do you want to consider in irrigation systems?
Well, you have plenty to consider, I imagine.
Exactly. You want to look at, of course, the available water. We typically, on an irrigation system, you tie into the area right at the meter.
Okay.
Typically, between the house and the meter, you tee off of that. Some people like to put separate meters in, too, but you have an extra core meter charge every month for that, too. So that makes it a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
And another, what about the sewer charge and all that? Well, actually, the sewer charge is calculated in the winter.
It is.
Typically, when people are not using irrigation. So it really, when you irrigate in the summer, it has no effect on that. So we have a caller?
We will here in a moment. We've got to make sure that we clear a couple of things here.
Okay. Yeah. Then you have to look at the available water pressure. It's variable here in towns. In some places, it's 110 pounds. In some places, 45 pounds. So you kind of have to engineer the sprinkler system based on that. So you need to know your static water pressure.
Very, very good. 336-1400 if you do want to make a call into the show.
Okay. So anyway, then you got regional priorities. In other words, lawn areas and bed areas. Do you want to water your beds as well as your lawns or just your beds or front yard or backyard, whatever? So you need regional priorities for that. And next is looking at plant types.
Okay.
What kind of grass do you have? Soil types are very important too. Soil type and slope is very important. Now, the irrigation systems administer water on what we call a rate of precipitation. There's two classifications of sprinklers.
Okay.
One is a rotary type lawn sprinkler head. Typically, they water a great distance, and they administer water at a fairly slow rate of precipitation. Secondarily, there are spray heads, which water at a regularly short distance away, say 15 to 18 feet. And they administer water on a fairly high rate of precipitation.
Okay.
So if you have a slope, you want a slow rate of precipitation so the water doesn't run back down to the river.
Quick trip.
Yeah, really. In and out. Well, it's like that. So in other words, you have to put water down at a rate at which the soil can absorb the water. So you don't have excessive runoff. And what happens is, well, all the water just running down the street, so I just turn it off. Well, then the water just goes down a quarter inch into the ground, and you're not solving anything. So there are spray nozzles that put water down slowly. One's called something like an R13 or something. It has just a little stream that comes out and puts water down very slowly. It actually matches the precipitation rate of a rotary head. So there are alternatives to normal 15H and whatever spray heads that you use typically on level soil. So anyway, keep in mind the slope also. Another thing is your depth of your soil too. And a good sprinkler system is engineered. In other words, you need to know your available water. You need to know the size of the meter, how much water is available. And generally, we try to peak out at 12 to 14 gallons a minute. And the valve type has a lot to do with that, too. Use a good quality valve that shuts real slowly.
That's pretty important.
Yeah, we use the Rainbird valves. They go real slowly, and the one that's even slower than the Rainbird valve, in other words, you don't get this slam shut,
mm-hmm.
is the Orbit valves.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole line, not necessarily by Orbit, but there's a whole line of those valves, and they close at a very slow rate of speed. So if you've got a lot of pressure, you might consider a slow closing valve.
Be easier on everything.
Well, easier on the valve itself too. Yeah. A lot of them will break because of too much pressure and closing too close, too rapidly.
Yes.
You get water hammer.
What's that?
Yeah, Schedule 40 pipe is only rated at 450 pounds, but if you put a 400 pound water hammer on something, eventually it's going to fail.
Yeah.
So you choose a valve that waters fairly slowly. You also choose the amount of consumption that so the valve doesn't have to slam shut. It shuts more slowly with more back pressure on it. Okay. When you do have a sprinkler guy come out, ask for diagrams and gallons per minute calculations. What kind of wire seals do they use? How easy is it to fix something that breaks on this thing? In other words, how is your valve manifolding done? So if you do have a problem with a valve, it can be repaired. And that's probably the biggest problem we have with sprinkler systems, valves.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's because they're under-designed. In other words, there's too much water flowing through this valve, and when it shuts, it slams shut. And it causes some stress on the top of the valve, and you get little cracks in it, and then all of a sudden your sprinkler system's running all night long for some odd reason. Then also you might want to ask for a master valve.
Yes.
A master valve is a valve that shuts off all the other valves. And all the sprinkler timers are available with master valves, too. It's a big investment. Sprinkler system's a big investment. Mm-hmm. And don't waste your money on something that's cheap. Because usually if you got a big area and somebody comes in, yeah, we can do it in 5 circuits. You know, tell them to, okay, bye.
See ya.
Yeah, we can do it for half the other people do. Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
They'll be seeing you about every year. Yeah.
Probably the biggest things to solve in irrigation systems is wiring problems.
Yeah.
And just make sure that your contractor uses the proper type of wire seals when they are installing the sprinkler system.
Good. We're going to have to take a real quick break. We're going to be back with some closing words with Larry here in just a moment.
From the time Frank Phillips completed his magnificent lodge home at Willow Rock in 1925 until Jane's death in 1948, they entertained the rich and the famous from all over the world. Their guests included wealthy business legends such as John D. Rockefeller and Henry Sinclair, politicians such as President Harry Truman and President Herbert Hoover, entertainers Rudy Valli, Will Rogers, and Rubinoff, famous authors such as Edna Ferber, pilot Wiley Post, Elliot Roosevelt, son of President Roosevelt. The list goes on and on. As we look back on the parties and the stories and the deals that were being done at the lodge, we realize that it truly was the Great Gatsby of the Midwest. To most of Frank's guests who were visiting from the East or West Coast, and many times from Europe, they were truly seeing a glimpse of the Wild West that they had heard so much about. While in fact that era was long over by then, Frank Phillips loved the history and wanted to do everything he could to make sure that his guests received their money's worth during their visit to his lodge and to Willow Rock. With that in mind, it was not unusual for a carload of his guests to arrive at the gates of Willow Rock in their large black sedans and be stopped by masked bandits on horseback, taken from their cars and robbed of their wallets, jewelry, and purses, and then sent on their way by the thieves. What those guests didn't realize is that these were employees of Frank's who hurried back to the lodge on horseback, arriving well ahead of the cars. When the guests arrived at the lodge and burst into the house, telling their wild and terrifying story to Frank, he would smile and point to the table in the living room where the stolen loot was on display, compliments of Uncle Frank. Once their blood pressure had returned to normal, they too enjoyed Frank's welcome to the ranch joke. They came to see the Wild West, and Frank Phillips obliged in true Oklahoma fashion, and they left Willow Rock with stories that likely got bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. That same magic continues still today at this national treasure. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
righty, we're back. We got about 2 minutes left to go in this show. And if you do have a quick call, we'll try to entertain it at 336-1400. Larry, what's going on at the shop?
Hey, at the nursery, we're getting new stuff in all the time. We've got fall color. We had a truckload of stuff come in, some maple trees and whatnot. So we're getting ready for that. Burning bush, real good fall color. I like to use burning bush, say at the corner of the house or somewhere, but keep in mind that it says compact.
It is.
And that doesn't necessarily indicate a limitation in size. It's a factor of the density of the plant when it says compact burning bush, for instance. So compact Nandina still gets 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
It just grows denser. It still gets tall. So anyway, keep that in mind also.
All right.
So we have that, lots of color, and the mums will be coming in soon. We'll get the big giant mums. They have their own zip code.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so we'll have some of those, and some smaller ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
And fall is, you know, like I said, fall's on its way. We'll have the fescue seed coming in, too, and we'll have it to where you can measure it out and so on if you don't need a lot, or we get the little two-pound bags or something. So before you get your fescue seed, also know your square footage so you know how much to get. I'll say, well, where do you live? And I can pretty much tell you how much square feet you have just by your address.
There you go.
So anyway, so golly, a lot going on. A lot going on in the landscaping. We're installing things fast and furiously. And when we do so, golly, we keep our shovels good and sharp. We'll see you next week.
All right, will do. Take care. News is next.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Mass Mutual.
I'm Gary Nunn. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson at the G7 says he plans to tell President Trump to pull back from a trade war that's already destabilizing economic growth around the world. CBS News correspondent Paula Reed at the summit in Biarritz.
They are not expected to sign a joint agreement at the end of the summit, but there will be substantive discussions on a variety of issues. Equality, the global economy, Iran, and even this question of whether Russia should be readmitted to the group after it was kicked out in 2014 over the annexation of Crimea.
Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg recovering from 3 weeks of radiation therapy for a cancerous tumor on her pancreas, her fourth bout with cancer over the past 20 years. Doctors say there's no evidence the disease reappeared after the treatment. Before leaving for the G summit, President Trump said,
"Our thoughts and prayers are with her. It's a very serious situation. I'm hoping she's going to be fine. She's pulled through a lot. She's strong. Very tough, but we wish her well, very well."
Justice Ginsburg is 86.
I'm Tom Foti. China started announcing new tariffs on U.S. goods on Friday. President Trump reacted with fresh tariff threats of his own.
"I'm doing it, and I have no choice, because we're not going to lose close to $1 trillion a year to China."
Mr. Trump has also been highly critical of his own Federal Reserve chairman for his policy on interest rates.
"No, I'm not happy with Jay Powell. I don't think he's doing a good job at all. I don't think he's much of a chess player, but I've got him, so, you know, that's what I have."
Police and pro-democracy demonstrators clashing today in Hong Kong.
Right now, I'm standing in front of about 150 to 200 riot police, all dressed in black. They're wearing helmets and they are holding shields. And they're also wearing respirators. Over the past few hours, they've been firing tear gas.
CBS's Remy Innocencio. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden campaigning in New Hampshire posed what seems to be an awkward question.
"My two political heroes were Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy. My senior semester, they're both shot and killed. Imagine what would have happened if, God forbid, Barack Obama had been assassinated after becoming the de facto nominee. What would have happened in America?"
Prince Andrew of Britain today released a statement saying he never saw or suspected any sex crimes during the time that he spent with the late financier Jeffrey Epstein, after Epstein left prison 9 years ago. This is CBS News.
Behind every moment shared with the ones you love is a plan that helped make it happen.
Learn more or find an advisor at massmutual.com.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Do you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes? The IRS has special programs in place that can eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. With a call to ATA, you can stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable.